Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 25th chapter, verses 35 through 40. You're welcome to use your Pew Bible, page 1207, or follow along with the words on the screen. Hear now these words. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious, holy God, on this beautiful October Sunday morning, as we continue in our journey of what it means to be Wesleyan, rooted in faith, remind us that you are first and foremost a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. And just as we heard, your promises ring true, and those promises remain steadfast. And as we hear scripture this morning, may your promises be spoken to us in new and powerful ways. May we hear your truth by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So as we have journeyed along, let us kind of situate ourselves in the total trajectory of being Wesleyan rooted. If you remember, we began first with knowing that we needed to be rooted, right? That we are meant to grow deeply. And we can grow deeply in places of our homes. We can grow deeply out in the community. But ideally, we can grow deeply in our faith by being connected to a body of believers. And then where did we go from there? To read scripture faithfully, right? To what is it that we are hearing through scripture, and that ultimately the lens through which we read scripture is meant to be Jesus Christ. That Jesus, having lived, suffered, died, and resurrected, shifts how we view the totality of Scripture, for Jesus is the Word incarnate and living truth for us today. And knowing that we are meant to grow deeply, that we are meant to read Scripture, we are also called to love actively. That if we recognize our God fundamentally as a God of love, that moves us to live more into God's likeness, which means that our actions, our behaviors, our words, our deeds are all rooted in that same love, that it may be experienced out into the community. And because it is meant to be experienced out into the community, it also means that we are meant to throw our arms wide open and to embrace any and all, because it is God who first embraces each and every one of us. And if we reach out embracing widely all of God's beloved people, that moves us into a posture of being available, of being present, of recognizing the needs, of having our heart broken as God's heart is broken, that we may live into God's love and meet people where they are. We are called to serve impactfully. I am still reeling this week, and I would suspect that many of you are as well, of the enormity of the catastrophic event that was Hurricane Helene. That being North Carolinians, we focus on the mountain regions of Western North Carolina, and we also recognize that they were not the only community that has been affected by this. And yet our hearts are connected to those mountains where we have deep roots and family and friends. I can't turn on anything, whether it's social media or news, without being inundated with images and stories from the mountains. And it just absolutely boggles my mind. And then as we respond, what is it that Mr. Rogers said? In the worst of times, look for the helpers. And right now, they are still in what I would consider the early stages of recovery, of identification, of first responders. They are trying to get to places that have been cut off either due to mud or lack of electricity or lack of water. And then I am reminded that this is not a sprint. It will be a marathon of serving. It will call us into responding over and over and over again. And then I can't help but hear where people will tell you how you should respond. And if you aren't doing it the right way, they're going to call you out on it. Am I right? And what I mean by that is I remember there was another hurricane situation, and we immediately want to respond. And so there was a collection of clothing and toys and things like that, and then wanting to get it to those places. And then what happens, at least in this case, in that effort to get there, you're causing more issues because road access is limited. Right? They're like, what are those basic needs? Well, I was hungry, so feed me. I was thirsty, so give me something to drink. I only have the clothes on my back. Can I have a clean set of clothes? I was imprisoned, and in this case, isolated. Can you find me? So the question becomes how, if we understand God to be a God of love, it moves us into action. And it is those that are immediate, and there are those that are long-term responses. Right? So let me be very clear. When we think about being Wesleyans and as Methodists and we're rooted, that fundamentally for our faith, because God is a God of grace, we are moved to respond to God's grace in the world. And that can happen in a couple of different ways. It can happen through acts of piety, Remember how early on I spoke about reading scripture faithfully? That is an act of piety, meaning how are we growing in our faith and understanding of who God is and who we are in relationship to God? And it could be reading scripture. It can be worshiping together. It could be singing songs, because sometimes music may move you to understand God in a different way. It may be spending time meditating or walking a labyrinth in some space to commune with God through prayer or meditation or mindfulness or journaling. This can be both individual and also communal acts of piety, that we can do it as people on our own, but also to do it together. So those are the ways that we grow in our relationship, where we are growing rooted deeply in our faith. And there are things called acts of mercy, acts of charity in the times of John Wesley. And those are the tangible things of seeing, are they hungry? Let's feed them. Do they need clothing? Do they need visitation because they're homebound? Are they in financial dire straits? How can we support them? It's out of this idea of acts of charity and acts of mercy that we saw in the time of John Wesley, where they would have small groups to ask the very question, how is it with your soul? Where are you struggling to live your life of faith this week? How can we support you? You may or may not know this, but it was that small group that was also responsible for tithing to the gathered, you know, the community societies of John Wesley. Everybody was supposed to put in a penny. And if there was one who wasn't able to put in a penny, it was the leader or someone else's responsibility to help meet that need. That those funds were then used for the larger community. It's where you would get recovery groups and schools and hospitals. I mean, we are blessed with so many that are rooted in Wesleyan understandings even today. But here's the caveat. We are not called to serve because we can earn our salvation. Let me say that again. We do not serve to earn our salvation. For it is by faith that we are saved, and by faith we act out of that as an expression of our faith, of the salvation that has already been obtained through Christ Jesus. It is that place with which we serve. Now, I know for me, I am probably not going to be one who's going to be on a volunteer response team, because I don't have the time necessarily to give to that. However, I can pray, or I might be able to give to UMCOR, because they will use every dollar that is given to relief and recovery efforts. That's a way of serving too. So I'm not here to say one way is better than another. But what I am here to say is, where is your heart in your response to serve? When we do it to anyone else, we are doing it for Jesus. For when did we see you hungry and feed you? For when did we see you thirsty and gave you a drink? For when did we see you lonely and we paid you a visit or dropped you a note in the mail? For when were you sick and going through your treatments that we were there? Friends, this is what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. That because God loves us, we are extensions of that love, that we are participating in God's salvation in the acts that are occurring in the world each and every day. That we see the belovedness of Christ in the eyes of the stranger, of the ones we interact with in the grocery store, or the gas station. The ones that we see on television whose lives have been permanently rocked and whom we may never meet. But at the heart of that, each and every one matters to God. And because each and every person matters to God, we matter and can do what we can to help God's work in the world. We are called to serve impactfully in the very small, medium size, larger size, and even in some of the most overwhelming circumstances. But we do it out of a posture of grace and humility as a response to what God has offered to us through Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.